Hey, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here, and welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal Podcast. You gotta light 'em up before they burn it down. Let her dig deep, put 'em in the ground. But on their hands, they're hell bound. Sing a song. Hi, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, and throughout my life, from military to public service, the right to bear arms responsibly has been a fundamental belief. That's why I stand with United Patriot Supply. They're redefining what it means to be a firearms dealer by combining the experience and know-how of a traditional gun shop together with the selection and pricing power of a modern e-commerce company. Stop by our flagship store in Seneca, Kansas, or visit us online at UnitedPatriotSupply.com. You know, this is one of my favorite times of the year. I really have two favorite times of the year. That's fall, because it's college football season. And now, when we go at the end of college basketball season into what we all know is March Madness. And I got to tell you, I've been staying up late night already looking at some of these basketball games. I am so thankful that my University of Tennessee Volunteers, even though they shot horribly against Texas, they still found a way to win 62-58 and make it into the Sweet 16. Going to be tough in that Midwest region for the Tennessee Volunteers. They got Creighton up next, which is a solid team. And then on the other side, they're probably going to have to take on Purdue. And I got to tell you, Zach Edey and the Boilermakers look pretty much so unstoppable. They're on a mission after they got defeated last year by a 16 seed, and they were a number one seed. And that's what we love about March Madness. And when you sit down and you look at the NCAA men's basketball tournament, women and men, it is really what I think America is all about, the equality of opportunity. 68 teams start off, because on the men's side they have these play-in games now to get to the 64. So they kind of expanded a little bit more, and I'm fine with that. But 64 teams will start off in the NCAA basketball tournament. Only one person comes out as a champion. And when you think of some of the upsets that we've seen already, I mean, Yale taking down Auburn, or Oakland. And I'm not talking about California, but it's Oakland University in Michigan taking down one of the most historical, successful college basketball programs in the country, the University of Kentucky. And I got to tell you, I got some friends back there in Big Blue Nation. They ain't happy with Coach Calipari. And they're already talking about that little buyout thing because they expect to win. But that's why we tune in to March Madness. That's why we love it, because everyone has that equality of opportunity to win. It is about your merit. It is about playing hard. And yes, there's always going to be a Cinderella team. Think about North Carolina State University, that the final four or five games of the regular season, they lost them. But then they go into the ACC tournament, and they win five consecutive games, and they win the ACC tournament. And now in the NCAA tournament, I think they're an 11th seed. They are now part of the Sweet 16. And if you understand how the brackets are formulated, you know, you got 1 to 16 in each one of the regions. So really, mathematically, if you want to look at it this way, what the selection committee is looking at is the Sweet 16 should be the top four out of each one of those regions. North Carolina State is an 11th seed, and they're in the Sweet 16. they've got a hot hand right now. I mean, they won 7 straight games. And see, that's what we love about it. That's why we watch it. But the thing that I fail to really understand is that when you look out there on that court, it's not about black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. It's about your skills and your ability. Can you play? Can you execute? No one is going to cut you slack because you come from a smaller school up against a bigger school. No. It's just a level playing field. If there are fouls, you get called for a foul. I mean, Texas A&M just recently lost to Houston. They were so close in going into the Sweet 16. They were down some 13 or 14 points, like less than 3 or 4 minutes to go in the game, came back, 1 second buzzer beater, tied it up to go into overtime. Texas A&M would have gone on, but guess what? They missed a lot of free throws in that game against Houston. And so that's what it's all about. There was a young man I was watching, the University of Nebraska. They had a very good season. Not a lot of people think about Nebraska being a basketball team, but they had this outstanding young Japanese player. He popped in, I think, 21 or 22 points. They lost. What an incredible effort. And to see the emotion on that young kid's face. That's what it's all about. See, there's no affirmative action when it comes to March Madness. Nobody's going to lower a standard so you can get in. You got some criteria you got to meet. You got to be a winning program. You got to win your conference tournament. You got to win your regular season conference. You got to have that successful season. But when I look at some of the universities that are out there now in the Sweet 16, or even some of the universities got allowed to play in the NCAA tournament, how many of them have those DEI programs and all these things where they try to water down a standard, lower the standard? You know, you hear people talk about, you know, maybe we don't need an SAT anymore. Maybe we don't need an ACT anymore. Maybe we don't even need a SAT, Scholastic Aptitude Test. If you want to be a lawyer, just, you know, apply and be a lawyer, and, you know, if we feel bad for you, we'll let you go to law school. That ain't how it works to get into the NCAA tournament. There's criteria. There's standards. There are people that sit on a selection committee. If you don't make the standard, nothing's going to change. Sorry. Go into the transfer portal or whatever, recruit better, and try to get a better team. What's interesting about what you see happening now in March Madness, the parity that we see with these smaller schools and these larger schools, is that a lot of these larger schools have subscribed to the one-and-done system. Kid comes in, super hot freshman, plays for 1 year, poof, gone to the NBA, and the NBA allows them to come in. 18, 19-year-old kids, they don't have any business being an NBA. They should be worrying about their education first. But what you see happening in a lot of these other schools, those kids stay together, and they play together. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, their season, their experience. They don't fold, they don't flap with a little bit of adversity. They're not looking for, you know, a whoopee or a little comfort puppy or anything like that. It's tough when they lose, but they know that when they step out on the court, they have the ability to win. Just as great as they have the consequence of losing. And that's what we need to instill in our kids in this game of life. Not this mentality of the culture of the participation trophy. See, one team is going to be the college basketball national champion. Last year, it was the University of Connecticut. Connecticut is also a one seed this year. They have made it into the Sweet 16. How many of you all remember who finished second in the NCAA tournament last year? I do, because it was a shock. It was San Diego State University. And I think the Aztecs of San Diego State University have made it once again into the Sweet 16. You know, Florida Atlantic University, nobody thinks about that as a basketball school. They made it to the Final Four last year of the NCAA tournament. Didn't make it this year. Didn't make the Sweet 16. But they put themselves out there. And now they can build a strong basketball program. And that's what I want to see happen. Because there's a different type of madness that is going on in this country that is not like the madness we see in college basketball tournament, the March Madness. It is a socialist, leftist, Marxist madness. And this Marxist madness is destroying our country. See, this Marxist madness that says we're all supposed to be just alike. We're going to create an economy that works for everybody. We want people to get out there and pay their fair share. Well, let me tell you something. The folks that are in the Sweet 16 don't have to share anything with the other, 48 that didn't make it? They don't. Because they got on the court and they competed and they showed that they could advance on. So we don't need people to sit back under this guise of social egalitarianism saying that we're going to come in and we're going to create not an equality of opportunity, but an equality of outcomes. That's what's happening in the United States of America. That's what the Marxist madness is all about. The complete antithesis of what March Madness is all about. And that's why we get excited about March Madness. That's why we get excited for the Cinderella team. The Cinderella team is like North Carolina State. They're not out there looking. Give us an edge. Give us an advantage. Kind of manipulate the outcomes. No! You listen to those kids at North Carolina State University in the post-game interviews, they're hungry, man. They're like, we have no fear when we step out on the court. We believe whoever it is, we're the better team. We're on a roll. We got the momentum. But like I said, I bet these colleges and universities, many of them that are represented in the field of 64 and also probably in the Sweet 16, they have policies that don't agree with that. We have a country that doesn't agree with that. We have a country with this Marxist madness that, you know, would say, you know, even though you didn't get selected in the field of 68 and went down to 64, that's now at 16, just illegally come in and jump on the court. That's what's happening in America. When you have 300, 350 single military age males that storm the border of the United States of America, that trample over Texas National Guardsmen. And oh, by the way, Governor Abbott, why do you have these young men and women, I presume, down there on the border not armed? What are their rules of engagement? I would not put our young men and women in harm's way on the border of the United States of America and watch them get trampled and run over by a bunch of single military age males who, oh, by the way, they just busted the bracket. I'm using March Madness terminology. Walked onto the court and say, we're here to play. Because those 300 some odd, they have now been processed and been released into our country. Even though they trampled over National Guardsmen. That's Marxist madness. But that's what we're dealing with here in the United States of America. We're telling our kids that, you know, maybe we shouldn't have valedictorians and salutatorians. We shouldn't tell you about you made the National Merit Scholarship. That happened in Virginia. Kids that had earned that distinction that did not get informed. Why? Because we want to manipulate the outcomes. This is all about equity, making us all the same. See, Marxism doesn't believe in individualism. Marxism doesn't believe in people working hard to achieve a standard and becoming a champion. See, Marxism, at the end of the NCAA regular season basketball, we just give everybody a trophy. Say, yay, you all played good. We'll see you next season. No champions, no trophies. Oh, maybe we should give, you know, this school, you know, a little bit different distinction because we want to spread it out and spread it around, and we want to have fairness. If you tell people that we're not going to reward you for being an A or B student, we're going to get rid of grades. If we tell kids that, you know, everybody's going to be mediocre, just be a C student, that's Marxist madness. Now, there are some people that are above that little cut line. You know, the Soviet Union used to have this thing called the Politburo, and then everybody else, we're the serfs and the servants and whatever. But I don't want to live like that. I refuse to live like that. See, my life is kind of reflective of being, you know, in March madness, not Marxist madness. Because I was born in 1961 in a blacks-only hospital in the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia. But my dad taught me that you find out what the standard is and you exceed it. So that's why I've been able to achieve and be where I am. And that's why I believe that it is my responsibility to pay it forward. To pay it for my children and for my grandchildren, those people that are around me, those young officers that I saw when I was an officer myself and helping them to grow. When I look and see a young man that was a cadet of mine when I taught ROTC at Kansas State University, he's now the commanding general of the 1st Cavalry Division, and I was there at his change of command ceremony last summer. That's a quality of opportunity. That's how we pay it back. That's how we build the next generation. When I'm there, and as you know, I just finished my 5-jump refresher training with the round canopy parachute team. And one of the young men who came up and blood beat my wings into my chest was a former cadet of mine at Kansas State University who led a Special Forces A team early on into the invasion of Afghanistan. Our initial response from 9-1-1, maybe you remember them, the horse soldiers. See, that's what it's all about. That's how you build tradition. That's how you build legacies. That's why the folks at the University of Kentucky ain't happy that they lost to Oakland. But Oakland believed that they had the chance of beating the University of Kentucky, and they did. See, we need to have a culture, a society, a system that more so reflects March Madness, the rewarding of people for their efforts, and the encouragement of people to try harder, practice better, make it to the tournament next year. And maybe you make it into the round of 64, but maybe you get into the Sweet 16. Maybe you don't get past the Sweet 16, but you keep working harder. Next thing you know, you get to the Elite Eight. That's what we would should have reflected in our society. Not the Marxist madness that says we don't have standards, we don't have champions. We just pick and choose somebody, some faraway entity, you know, that calls them, they sit up in the press box and they're the ones manipulating. I don't like this political oligarchy that we have. I don't like the fact that we're saying that America is not exceptional. We don't have a border. We don't have national sovereignty. Anybody just come on in here. And oh, by the way, you get free taxpayer-funded benefits. While our veterans, the men and women who served, sacrificed, and committed to this country, willing to make the last full measure of devotion to this country, are out there homeless, jobless, suffering, committing suicide. That's what Marxist madness gets you. So tune in. If you haven't watched the NCAA basketball tournament, men or women, check it out. See what it means to get out on the stage, on the court, and play hard and get rewarded for your hard efforts. But know that you had gotten the opportunity to be on that court, be on that field, be in that game, to try to become a champion, to be all that you can be. Because the progressive socialist left, the new Marxists here in the United States of America, their madness is going to destroy this country. It's going to destroy our individual will, determination, and drive. I don't want to see that happen. And you shouldn't either. But that's the decision that we get to make in this November election. March Madness comes every year, and we enjoy it. Marxist madness will bring this country to its knees. And if you want to pass on something better to your children and grandchildren, you will reject it. If you accept it, then I just got to tell you, you ain't no friend of the colonel if you buy into Marxist madness. Because Colonel Allen West is steadfast and loyal. Before they burn it down.